With your money briefing, I'm Charlie Turner in New York for the Wall Street Journal. Stocks posted gains in Friday's session, even in the wake of data that pointed to a further economic slowdown. The Dow Jones Industrials closed up 138 points Friday at 25,848. The NASDAQ Composite gained 57 points, and the S&P 500 rose 14. For the week, the Dow rose 1.6%, the NASDAQ gained 3.8%, and the S&P added 2.9%. Wall Street Journal markets reporter Akane Otani joins us in our studio. Akane, there were some weak reports Friday on industrial production in both the U.S. and China, I believe. Was this a bad news as good news situation, since it contributes to the likelihood that the Federal Reserve won't raise interest rates this year?
At least for now, I think that's how investors are reading it. I mean, even though we've seen a number of somewhat downbeat economic reports, not just in the U.S., but in China, as you mentioned, and also across the Eurozone, stocks around the world have largely continued to rise. And I think that's a testament to the bets that are playing out, that this kind of weakness that we're starting to see is going to force the Fed and the ECB and the BOJ, so on and so forth, to really dial back their plans to raise interest rates in the future. And that, of course, is accommodative for stocks. I mean, one of the big problems that investors were grappling with last year was this thought that the economy was actually potentially going to overheat, which would force the Fed to accelerate its rate increases. But now that that problem is largely off the table, I think investors are, if anything, somewhat relieved.
This past week, technology stocks were the strongest sector. The NASDAQ was up nearly 4% this week. Anything there? Or it must be something there.
Well, I think it's really a continuation of this trend that we've seen emerge over the last month or so, where tech stocks, not just in the U.S., but really around the world, have been leading the market's rebound. And it's sort of an interesting reversion, I guess, back to the mean, because, again, we saw this happening at the beginning of last year, and yet investors seem to be a little bit more at ease with what's happening nowadays. I think because there's a sense that since a lot of these fast-growing companies were so sold off in the final months of 2018, what's happening now seems a bit more sustainable in many people's eyes compared to what we were seeing last year.
Going overseas again, was there some relief that UK lawmakers this past week voted against a no-deal Brexit and in favor of extending the current Brexit deadline of March 29th?
Very much so. We saw the British pound immediately start rallying after the results of that vote came in Thursday, and the pound looked set to close the week higher against the dollar as well. So we really have seen, I guess, another one of the fears that investors were grappling with somewhat taken off the table for now. I mean, the base case in many people's minds was that the UK was going to vote against a no-Brexit situation, and that's what we did see. Now, there's a lot of uncertainty still left on the table. We still don't have an actual deal with the UK and the EU, but just the fact that that vote went according to traders' plans is somewhat of a relief for the markets.
And apparently there's a third vote scheduled sometime next week on Theresa May's plan for Brexit. Investors are still watching for any signs of progress in trade talks between the US and China, aren't they? That's always on the table.
Yeah, and I think that's another big reason, apart from the Fed looking a little bit more accommodative, that we're seeing global stocks rebound as hard as they have. It was another good week for Chinese stocks. And again, I think the signs that the U.S. and China's trade talks are still continuing to progress are helping out a lot over there.
Akane, is the Fed policy meeting this Tuesday and Wednesday the main event to watch? What will investors be looking for?
It sure seems like it, especially since the earnings reporting season has largely wound down at this point. So at this point, investors are pricing in no rate increases, or even perhaps a rate cut at the end of this year by the Fed. So we'll really be tuning in to see the guidance that the Fed presents as far as its dot plots go, to see if their sort of thinking has shifted along those lines. And also for the Fed's language when it comes to growth and inflation. Inflation has in particular been something that's really sort of perplexed economists over the last several months, because we have seen the labor market continue continuing to post pretty impressive gains. We saw record job openings last month, actually, and yet wage growth has remained somewhat muted. And so it'll be interesting to see if Fed officials are sort of finding new ways to address where the inflation target should be, and if so, if that'll affect their plans for rate increases and bond purchases in the future.
Wall Street Journal markets reporter Akani Otani joining us in the studio. Thanks, Akani.
Thanks for having me.
All eyes will be on the Federal Reserve during the new week. The Fed will hold its monthly policy meeting on Tuesday and Wednesday. Investors await the Fed's interest rate decision and its end-of-meeting statement. And Central Bank Chairman Jerome Powell holds a press conference after that. Observers don't expect any change in interest rates, with the Fed having signaled a patient approach to monetary policy. On the economic schedule, the National Association of Home Builders issues its March Housing Market Index, a key gauge of home building sentiment. Also during the week, February reports are due on used home sales and housing starts. And there's a January report on factory orders, delayed by the government shutdown. FedEx and Nike top a thin list of quarterly earnings reports for the week. We'll also get results from Overstock.com, Guess, Tiffany, General Mills, Darden Restaurants, and Micron Technology. And that's your Money Briefing. I'm Charlie Turner in New York for the Wall Street Journal.